The Bat Boys are back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Bat Boys. This is your favorite Bat Boy speaking, Tim. And I'm joined here by your lesser favorite, but really enjoyable Bat Boy number two, Sam. Sam, how are we doing? How are we doing this week?
Tim, we're great. I'm glad that we're recording. I want to apologize to the listeners. It's been several weeks since we've recorded. But we wanted to come back. We're back in the country. The problem, listeners, is that Tim was in Guatemala, and he had a great time. Although I would just point out, this was the only time that he's been out of the country where he didn't throw up a bunch. So I'm really proud of him.
We were just connecting on, you know, anytime I step foot in Latin America, I get pretty sick, quite sick. Yeah. And this time I didn't get sick. So Guatemala, fantastic trip. Got a little lucky. Sam, when I even look at Latin America on the map, I get a little vertigo. I get a little, I could feel it coming on.
I get it.
It's like when you drink rum when you're 15 and you can never drink it again. That's how it is for me.
And I just to give some context to the listeners, I think Latin America should not be blamed for this. You know, Tim, when he was young, he went to, but old enough to still have a little sense, he went to a soccer game in El Salvador and everyone said, don't eat the burger at the stadium. Enjoy the game. Don't eat the burger at the stadium.
Don't eat any of the food at the stadium.
And what does Tim do?
I got a little hungry. You know, I saw these little burgers and they were being cooked, you know, not behind like a stand in the stadium, anything official. It was a woman cooking in some makeshift grill. And I knew when I saw it, Sam, it was problematic. You know, Sam, when I was in Guatemala, I met an El Salvadorian and I told him that story. And he goes, oh, yes, yes. No one eats in the stadiums.
Yeah.
It's a well-known thing.
It's really amazing that after you got this advice, you still, for me, I could be, if that was the threat of getting that kind of sickness, I could go 10 days, Tim, without eating a thing.
I will say this. They didn't say I would be violently ill for 4 days. I think it was like a little huddle and it was, you know, 75% in Spanish. And they were like, Tim, the one gringo there, Tim, don't eat in the stadium, you know? And then we carried on, you know?
Yeah. I think a part of you was a little curious what those consequences would be.
They should have said, Tim, you can have all the food you want here. It's just not very good. Maybe I wouldn't have eaten it.
It was the forbidden.
Sam, you and I went to Colombia a few years ago and we did everything the same. Same meals, same street food.
That's right.
You know, same hotel room.
That's right.
And we part ways and I ask you, hey, Sam, are you feeling well, unwell? And you're like, well, you know, my stomach, I have a little stomach thing.
It was like 10 minutes.
You're like, and I was like, yeah, I've been vomiting for 7 days.
Columbus, so. Well, that was because I poisoned you at the end of the trip.
Yeah, but, it could have been 10 days together. Poisoning each other.
But listeners, I want to apologize for our hiatus, but we're back and we're back at a time when Valencia is back out of the relegation zone, back in the good part of the table. And we're here, to celebrate and talk about what's next, for this team that has been looking pretty good, Tim, in the last
pretty good,
weeks.
Sam, I want to maybe start with this, pose a question to you. A few weeks ago, you were quite adamant, hey, you need to give Gattuso a chance. And I agree. We need to not fire Gattuso.
Gattuso was here.
When he was here. Yeah. Now that we're seeing some of the results, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I still stand by my position back then that we shouldn't have. I mean, again, you know, the Gattuso firing, I think, is very complicated, or the him resigning is very complicated because, you know, part of this seemed to be he was disappointed by what was happening with management, and he felt as if there were some promises that were not being made. Although part of me feels as if that's like you kind of knew that going in, and you've gotten better treatment as a coach than, you know, last several coaches. So, you know, did you really expect to be able to do a lot of action in the winter transfer window? And I kind of felt as if there was, you know, a lot of criticism of the team around that point.
Yeah.
And that he was like, all right, this is too much. And I'm going to use the limb piece or kind of force my hand with limb. And then make a resignation. That was kind of what I felt. And I felt like the negative tension that some fans were giving to the team was hurting our chance of kind of keeping Gattuso. I think that was, I still stand by that. I thought, yeah, Gattuso was a good coach and was better than the results we were getting. And then, but with Voro, I thought we really needed a proper coach. You know, I think there were some people were in a thread with a bunch of Valencia fans or people saying, yeah, this is, could be a good thing with Voro. I did not think it was a good thing to have Voro be in charge for half a season. I love Voro, but he's just, that's not his skill set. You know, that's not.
Otherwise, he'd be trying to coach somewhere.
Right.
Coach. Yeah. Yeah. I've just been surprised by a few things. You know, I was saying, hey, what can we expect from Baraja? And now that we're seeing it, you know, I'm just seeing a lift in a few areas, like the team, like individual performances look better and our defensive performance looks a lot better. So the style's different, but I'm seeing, like, you know, is there any coincidence that Guillamone now is in a lineup and he's playing well? Is there something where Gattuso wasn't resonating with him, wasn't giving him the confidence? So I just thought that's interesting, because that's what I'm starting to see.
It's an interesting question. I think with Guillamone, though, because Guillamone was playing superbly under Gattuso up until the World Cup. Like, there's clearly something that happened at the World Cup.
Yeah.
And you know, and I don't know exactly what it was, but that he's struggled since then. And, you know, I think you could imagine enough time has passed that's starting to dissipate. Yeah. But I don't know. I obviously, this is all speculation, but I felt as if that was a team seemed to be more about something something with Luis Enrique or the team than anything else.
Yeah, but like, what, he was like upset or something and had to be upset for a few months. I'm just curious. I'm just thinking now. I'm starting to see, you know, this Osasuna match, Sam, very hard fought match, getting a lot out of the players. And there's a few players we've been pretty harsh on. I think I've been pretty critical on. One of which is Elias Moriba. I felt like he couldn't do anything right over the last month, but he had a really good match coming in off the bench. And so you look at that. And I think, all right, the style of coaching is resonating, and the system using the players in the right positions seems to be resonating right now. But we look better last four matches.
I mean, Tim, I think, you know, the last time we recorded was after the Getafe match, and you know, I think we were pretty. That was the first game under Baraja, and you know, we lost this team, not a very good team.
Yeah.
Who's also kind of in the relegation battle. So it was, you know, it was really brutal, and it kind of felt familiar in that it was a loss at the very end. You give up this goal. But you know, since then we beat Real Sociedad, who, to be fair, has been struggling, but is still in the top, you know, five of La Liga. We play Barcelona really tough, and I thought we were extremely unlucky to not get a PK call, which to me was, there was a clear penalty.
Clear penalty.
That didn't get called for us. And then this game where, you know, it was 1-0, but I felt as if the play, it was not that close. I felt like it could have been a much more like a 3-0 game to me than a 1-0 game. So the last three games, and the Barcelona game was away, so pretty good little run. And it's really important, because we were talking about this, you know, after the Getafe match, like, man, now our games get really hard. Yeah. And, you know, we're at that point, I think we were in like the penultimate position of the Liga. And I'm not going to say we're safe now, but like, we're, we at least have the confidence, I think, and we have the ability to start getting much better results.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, Sam, they look just far more organized, you know, aside from the style differences. You know, the one thing that I've noticed is I think the Mallorca match, I went back to that match. We lost 2-1 and we passed the ball 570 times. Those are like kind of Barcelona numbers. And then we lose 2-1. I think it was like 85% pass completion. The last four games, I think we're getting 200, you know, 289, 300 or so. And a lot of the problems we were causing are some direct balls. So we're just seeing a little bit of a more, maybe more of a balanced team. And the guys just seem a lot more organized in what they're supposed to be doing. So that, but it's interesting. It's the same squad, Tim or Sam. Same squad.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this one, you saw a lot of fight, you know, and you could tell how much the players wanted it, and it was great. I mean, it was a really encouraging game, Tim.
Yeah.
I was happy with the boys.
Well, Nico got in. He's no longer injured. Afterwards, he said, Gattuso and Braja are two different profiles with different tactics. Each one has their idea of the game, and Braja's is working. Oh, that's interesting. Interesting comment to make to the media. Pointing to, I think, the maybe lack of belief in Gattuso, maybe the last four or five games or so. What do you think?
Am I reading too much into it? I thought the margins were like so small in some of those games. I just felt like it was unfair. We just got really unlucky. I mean, you know, but eventually you have to get results. I don't know. Look, I'm excited about Braja. I think it's still really early to tell. I think you get a new coach and, you know, there's a natural kind of momentum you get with a new coach. And I think the real question is kind of when things aren't going great. And how the coach responds and whether the coach makes the adjustments. His lineups have been interesting to me. I mean, you know, we're still, it's just like crazy, Tim. We have so many different coaches over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And Fulquier just keeps getting minutes. You know?
Like, yeah, that's true.
Dude just like keeps finding his way into the team.
I saw a lot of comments. I wish I had grabbed all the Fulquier comments on Twitter, and they're saying, you know, how this guy is still here. He's still
like, how? Like, he won't. And he's not like Sabrina, where like the dude was always on the team, but like he didn't really play. Fulquier just keeps getting minutes, keeps getting starting spots.
Yeah.
You know, I can't quite sort it, Tim, but you know, that's what it is. Clearly, lots of coaches have elected to play him. So,
and I mean, it says something about Correa, where he is, and whether he believes Fulquier is still better defensively, because Fulquier does not get forward.
I
think he got forward once or twice, had that shot and that chance, but generally he's pinned back defending, and a lot of it goes through. You know, Castillejo is getting no help from him forward. So he's staying there. Sam, first time Samuelino hasn't started. He started every game for us. Today, Kluivert gets a start. Kluivert gets the goal. I thought that was a big tell about Braja. And I think there was a stat there that Braja's now used 21 players versus Gattuso's generally 14 to 15.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah.
Which was interesting. Yeah.
Kluivert is a player who just keeps looking better for me. Yeah. I mean, if you think about the kind of progression over the course of the season, you know, Samuelino was like a surprise from the beginning, but he was great from the beginning. But Kluivert, he just keeps getting better. I mean, that shot, he made it look so simple, Tim, but it was like unbelievable shot.
Yeah. I mean, he only had one shot there. He had one shot there. Yeah.
He like, yeah, he has no window to make that, and he makes it. I mean, I was really just like, wow, that was
really, really impressive goal. Yeah, he could have, he couldn't go far post.
No,
he could have gone maybe on through the legs, but the real option was high and near post, and he just struck that so well.
Yeah,
it was so good. Yeah, and he's just all over the place. So he looks really good.
Yeah. He's looking good, and you're right. Ugo Dura is looking better. Mariba had a decent run. Yunus, I thought the midfield was looking good. The defenders, I mean, we were really in control of this game. I mean, it was
And Sam, why do you think that is? Because we really haven't had, you know, the same midfielders: Guillermo, Almeida, Musa. Maybe Mariba is in there, but this is the first game where I felt like we had much more control over the game rather than being very reactive to the game. And maybe that's him putting Almeida a little bit more defensive, maybe back a little bit with Guillermo and letting Musa be more offensive. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was the most encouraging performance we had since the Real Betis match on the eve of the World Cup.
Yeah, that's a good take. Hot take?
Yeah, bold take. This wasn't a hot take, not a controversial take, but I think correct
take. It's correct take.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember aside from that where we really controlled the match.
No, that's true.
Even when we were up, Sam, we were fighting for our lives, and that's right. Where those late matches go through. Sam, and one other fun stat.
Oh, I like this.
One other fun stat. I don't have it in front of me, but if you look back over the last 5 years, I think we have conceded fewer goals. And except maybe with the exception of 2018, 2019. So the Bordalas era, I think we've conceded fewer goals than Bordalas has at this time.
Wow.
Would you have guessed that?
No, I wouldn't have
guessed that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also not surprising to me. I mean, again, our goal differential, like, I feel like we've been so unlucky. We still have like just a zero goal differential, you know. I feel like it's so like we really could be in like seventh place right now. Like it's just like
if we were just looking at first half, if we only counted first half, I think that I heard one of the announcers say that we'd probably be in sixth place or something.
And I think that was what was so encouraging about the Real Sociedad and this game, in that, you know, we showed an ability to finish a really close game in a kind of gutsy way. I also thought we showed some guts against Barcelona. Again, that PK call doesn't go our way, which is probably because Barcelona's been paying referees for a long time. Tim, we always talk about this, and when we talk about, you know, the big teams and the calls they get, and, you know, we always have a measured take, which is just that, look, there's probably bias toward the big teams, but there's probably not, you know, actual corruption. Turns out that might be wrong, Tim, that Barcelona is being prosecuted for corruption, for paying refs. Pretty interesting stuff, Tim.
Yeah. And if this stuff, if they are convicted, man,
what is it going to happen? I mean, is it going to be like what happened to Juventus? I mean, is like, I feel
like it has to be.
Yeah.
You need to be relegated, I think, with negative points or something.
Yeah.
No, but I
mean, are they going to do that? Are they going to do that to Barcelona? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, like, I don't know if they have the guts to do it. I also don't know if it's the right thing to do. You think it's the right thing to do. Man, I mean, Serie A kind of never recovered from that.
Yeah, Ventus at the time was so dominant.
Yeah.
And what was that? 2000, I forget the year they were.
It was like 2001, I think.
2002 or something. And remember that team they had at the time. Incredible team. And you're right. They came back to Serie A, but yeah, how long were the repercussions? I mean,
for
Italy
just the
really
league.
Never. Just the league. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least not quite recovered. AC Milan result against Tottenham might be the first time we've seen an Italian team, aside from Atalanta, maybe. See a good side. So, yeah, It would feel right. Well, Sam, I feel like now people are pulling up videos and reanalyzing, revisiting every game over the last 10 years in which Barcelona had calls go their way, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. I think it's going to be hard to do that, right? Like, this is like a, you know, it's hard to, I mean, and even when you're looking at, you know, I met this guy who told me he worked, I don't know if he was just showing off, but he told me he worked for this big deal in Australia and who was gambling a lot. And he was like, yeah, you wouldn't believe it. Like, there's like three games every year in the NBA that are fixed.
Really?
And I still couldn't believe it, but he was like, but if you to get it fixed, you just need like one starter out of five or something. I mean, like, I remember what he said. It's like, you just need one guy or two guys, or maybe the ref. It's crazy. You hate to think about that happening in La Liga. You hate to think about that happening in football. But if it does have to happen, and it does have to happen in La Liga, it's a little okay that it's Barcelona, because you know what's, yeah, I'm okay with that. You know, these guys, they're, you know, self-righteousness about their football, firing Luis Enrique, even when he's just crushing the league, that just seems right for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to feel really great. You know, I don't know which Barca account it was chiming in saying, look at Valencia diving in the Osasuna match.
Yeah.
All we have to do is send that screenshot of that conviction of Barca. That's all we need to do now. We don't have to say anything. Unbelievable. I'm so tired of that team, frankly.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of that team. Well, Sam, I still don't know, and we don't need to cover this because it's been covered everywhere. I don't know why the PK was not reviewed.
I just don't know. What are the VAR rules?
I don't know the VAR rules. It is so strange. Offside rules are strange. Where a player, there was a game, the Manchester United game, this past weekend, clear handball by the player, and then he dribbles it and he passes and and they score. But they said, hey, that wasn't the goal scoring. I mean, that wasn't like the goal scoring act.
Part of the goal scoring sequence or something?
I suppose. So they're not going to review it. But clearly the cameras, we were just looking at the replay, caught the handball. I mean, it should have been called back, but they didn't review it. It is so strange. I don't know.
I remember, Tim, I mean, the opposite of this is, I remember 2 years ago in La Liga, Real Madrid was playing Sevilla. And it was that season where Atleti won La Liga, but like, by a point or 2 points over Real Madrid. It was so close. Yeah. So this game was huge. And Sevilla is in Real Madrid's box. They're like, hits the hand off somebody in Real Madrid, but the ref doesn't see it or whatever. So they play on. And then in that follow-up sequence, before they have a chance to review it, Real Madrid scores. So what? I was crazy, and I can't believe the Real Madrid fans don't talk about this more. But so then what they decided was, not only are they giving a Sevilla PK, but they also take the Real Madrid goal back. I was like, what? Like, that was, and I'm not saying that was the wrong decision, but I mean, this is just craziness, what's happening with VAR to me. And again, VAR was always, you know, told to us that it was going to introduce more objectivity, eliminate some of the subjectivity in football, and obviously it hasn't done that. So it's just madness to him.
It could be argued that it now gives, you know, corrupt referees more tools in the toolbox
to change
the direction of a game, right? When to use VAR, when not to use VAR,
right?
And they're in the booth, and the guys in the booth are making the decisions on what do you want to review it. So I don't know, Sam, until they have some automated AI robot driven thing with sensors. Yeah. I think you'll always have a human making some call, and I'm with you. I'd rather have it a mistake, but we get to celebrate in real time versus have a mistake and have to wait. So
what I would like to see is that it only applies to offsides. You know, I feel like goal line technology is a good thing. That's a good introduction of technology in football. I think you could do that in offsides if you have tools that are sophisticated enough. But just this, but like a foul in the box, like whether he was pushed or whether he dove. I mean, this is just not like black and white. And I, you know, it's just like another person like looking at it. It's just, I just, it frustrates me, Tim. Yeah. It frustrates me.
Well, Sam, moving on to standing.
Moving on.
Here we go. We are in, we have 26 points. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams with under 30 points. 8, 9 teams within 32 points. So real tight race. Elche seems to be out of it. So we're really looking at Almeria, Getafe, Cadiz, all these teams, really. Sevilla got a lifeline this week, got a win. I was really hoping for them to drop points.
I know, Tim, me too.
That would have been a good one. They seem to be holding on just as well. Sam, we play Atletico next.
Yeah.
He's on a pretty good tear.
Great run of form, Tim. It's going to be tough, and we're playing at their stadium.
Yeah. It's going to be tough.
I think it's going to be 2-2, Tim.
2-2.
2-2.
Well, Sam, I was really encouraged. We didn't talk about it, but I was really encouraged that we wasted maybe 6 minutes in the corner flag.
That was great.
Finding a way to win. You know, we haven't been able to find a way to win. I love how we did that. I showed some experience until Fouquier, of course, passed it to the goalie and they counter quickly. But until that point, so I'm thinking we're going to get a 1-1 draw here.
1-1 draw. Okay.
1-1 draw. But it could be a clean sheet. I don't know. I would just say, man, I saw some highlights of Griezmann's performance.
I know.
Matches ago, and man, incredible.
Great form. He's really great form.
So we're going to need everything we can. We should be having Cavani back. Lato's still out. Nico's now back. So I'm curious what the lineup will be. And I think most of our players are somewhat fit. With the exception of maybe Correa. So, unless I'm missing something with Correa. So, all right, Sam, anything else? Any parting words of wisdom?
I think that's it, Tim. We're going to have some guests in the next couple of episodes, but, again, sorry for the hiatus. We will keep you, next time. We will send out a tweet when we're taking a break like that, but hopefully there'll be a few, moving forward, and it's good to be back with you, Tim. I'm glad that your tummy didn't get upset on this trip. I remember running into your mom, you know, with some diarrhea medicine last time I was in Manassas for you, and I just felt, you know, shame for you. You know, I felt embarrassed.
That's
for
a
you.
Bad Boys deep cut. You have to go 18 months back to get the diarrhea joke in the mom. Oh, that was episode maybe 15.
Only two listeners are going to get that.
Listeners are going to get that deep cut. You got that. Hey, you are. We want you on the pod.
That's right. Tell us.
You're in our fan club for sure. All right, Sam. Well, okay. I will see you next week with my diarrhea medicine. And
that's right. Okay. Adios.
Adios.